Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Edie Summers, and today I am so grateful to have as my guest Kathy Carlisle. We're going to be talking about what you do when you're diagnosed with a chronic condition. What umbrella do you put yourself under? What umbrella do you stand under? What box have you put yourself in? What gifts have you been given as a result of that, or just in general? Join me as I interview Kathy Carlisle, diagnosed with MS, multiple sclerosis, 3 years ago, for a powerful discussion on mindful living, moving out of dis-ease, and getting curious about your life. Kathy Carlisle is a photographer, entrepreneur, and catalyst behind the Live Everything Mindful community. She is inspired daily by her three incredible children, ages 12, 9, and 7, and her rock of a husband, who is continually curious about the new person that she becomes each and every day. 3 years ago, Kathy set out on a journey to heal herself of multiple sclerosis, and what she found was a spiritual journey that has lit her life on fire. She continues to use her photography skills to tell inspirational stories and inspire others to embark on their own journey inward. She is passionate about building a community full of keys to unlock one's potential through curiosity. And Kathy will be joining us in just a few moments here. And in the meantime, let's talk a little bit about what it means to be diagnosed and what does it mean to truly live in a state of health. What does that mean exactly, even if you are dealing with a chronic condition? This is kind of a challenging question for a lot of us. There might be a number of you listening out there who have a chronic condition and might be wondering, well, what can I do? What does it mean? What does health really mean anyway? And what does it mean when you're diagnosed with something that in the popular media is considered maybe meaning that your life has changed forever, either in your own eyes or in the eyes of others? What does that mean? So these are just some of the questions we're going to be exploring today. And I invite you to ask yourself and get curious about your own life and your own health challenges and what that means for you and how we can maybe learn to look at what health and or dis-ease means in a different light. And I'm still waiting for Kathy to join me. And in the meantime, I'm going to share with a little bit about you with my own experience with chronic illness. And I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome about 5 years ago. And it's been a journey ever since for me to figure out what that means exactly. What does it mean for me to have the label of chronic fatigue syndrome attached to me and to my name? And whatever the label is that maybe you've been diagnosed with or that's been attached to you, maybe the label that's been attached to you is multiple sclerosis, diabetes, type 2 diabetes. What is the label that has been attached to you? And how can you move out of that state of being? For me, I've had to do a lot of work to move myself out of that way of being. It's definitely been a challenge, but it's also been a journey. And I had to do a lot of inner work to sort of de-attach myself from the label of chronic fatigue syndrome. And I'm wondering, maybe we have some people who can call in who can share what their experiences are as well. So for me, moving out of being labeled with chronic fatigue syndrome and all that entails essentially meant that I had to go on a spiritual journey, much like Kathy and I are going to be talking about today. I had to reassess who I was spiritually and physically for that matter as well. And actually, this is something that I write in my book, The Memory of Health. Illness is a fire that burned away my identity. And when that happens, you're left with feeling like you have no sense of identity. And our world tends to operate from the place of relating to people on how we identify with them, right? So there, I went through a period of time where I wasn't able to work, and a lot of us identify with who we are in terms of what we do for a living. That part of me was burned away. My relationships, my romantic relationship, my marriage fell apart. That was another part of my identity that fell away. And I found myself without really any sense of identity that I could relate to with the outside world, nor with myself. And that left me in a really vulnerable place, or so I thought. And yet, at the same time, that sense of not having an identity also opened up a whole new world for me. And I was able to experience the world from a different level. I remember one time I was really sick and I was lying in bed, and all I could do was lie in bed. I was so sick I could barely breathe. That's how tired I was. And I remember having a really strong revelation about getting this sense that it was all about relationship, and that's all that really mattered. And I don't know if you want to call that was an experience of happening or something else, but there was definitely this feeling of relationship is all that is important. And I really felt a strong sense of, wow, I can actually live my life on a different level and in a different way. This is my opportunity. This is my opportunity to approach life from a different level, to be someone else, if I so choose to be. And let's see what comes out of that. And I'm not necessarily saying that this is something that is the best way to go. I mean, I'm not saying that getting sick or chronically sick or staying chronically sick is the only way that you can experience this type of revelation. But it definitely was a turning point for me because I was able to, whether it was by default or through the guidance of higher power or life circumstances, whatever you want to call it, I was forced to, or guided to, maybe that's a better word, I was guided to experience my life on a completely different level. And out of that, my life started to change. So I invite you to think about what that means for you, whatever health goals or challenges you may be facing. There is always a way to move beyond. And with that being said, I would like to welcome Kathy. And Kathy, I'm so grateful to have you here. And I would like to know, maybe you could start at the beginning and share for us what your journey was like when you were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, yay. Hi.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I totally had the time wrong. I'm like, it's on the air. What?
And I'm listening from the other side.
Oh, brilliant. I finally timed it perfectly.
Exactly. Everything's perfect. Timing is always perfect, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What was that experience like for you? I know this is a deeply personal story for you, but I'm wondering, what was that experience like for you in that moment when you were officially diagnosed?
You know, I would say the official diagnosis, or unofficial maybe, was about 3 days before I went in the hospital.
Okay.
And because we're so amazing at getting on the internet, I was on day 4 of having what started out as 2 numb fingers and crept over into my whole body in about a 4-day period. And once I started typing in numb fingers, numb torso, everything that came up was MS.
So
looking in hindsight in that moment, that's when the fear hit. That's when my heart sunk and I knew what it was. When I was in the hospital, it wasn't that big of a surprise, and I kind of greeted it with an unexplained excitement, and I smiled through the whole process.
Wow.
I mean, if you look back at pictures of me at the hospital, I was smiling through the whole thing, and of course, now I know that it was an excitement of what was to come. But at the time, I couldn't explain. As neurologists were crying, giving my diagnosis, a neurologist, I shouldn't say some, my reaction shouldn't have been how it was, which is, okay, what do I do? How can I be the best patient ever?
However, that's, I mean, I love that that was your reaction. I mean, I can't imagine a lot of people do react that way, but that's I find that fascinating that that was your reaction, because I can only imagine that that influenced the course of your experience afterwards. Would you think that that's maybe a fair statement to say? Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, I don't think, I'm not saying there wasn't fear that came in to, you know, not to lighten the whole, like it was this glorious experience of, yeah, I have MS now. It was, you know, at night staring at my husband going, okay, you know, I could hear it in the neurologist's voice. I can hear it in the nurse's voice. This is serious. And so I would definitely have those crying moments of, what does this all mean? I mean, it's not like they come into a hospital room and start explaining this disease. It's just like, here's your diagnosis. Now, let me tell you about the drugs, and let me tell you about the steroids that you're on right now before you even know that you need to be on them.
So
there wasn't a lot of explanation. There wasn't a lot of really ingesting what was really going on, other than I'm in the hospital. That must mean I'm sick. They're giving me drugs. That means I am sick. And I guess I'll understand this later.
And does it feel like the experience, kind of what you're saying, it sounds to me like it almost like you can't process it all in the moment. Like it takes a while to process the experience.
Well, let's see. 3.5 years later, I'm still processing. So, yes, I think it would be nearly impossible to take in all the processing other than, here's your disease.
Yes.
You know, good
interesting.
Luck and on with your journey, whatever that might look like, for sure.
And so I find it interesting that you use that phrase, that that's maybe, is that what it kind of felt like when you were there, that like, here is your disease?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have a tendency and a craving as human beings to have everything labeled. And looking back at my life was perfectly labeled. I had a label for everything, who I was, what I liked, what I didn't like. And so the label fit exactly with what was in line for my life. Like, okay, I don't feel good. I need a label for it. Okay, there it is. Now I'm special. Now I can stand out in the world. And I did. I wore that dang diagnosis like a brownie badge.
Really?
Absolutely.
How long would you say that you wore it for? Oh, go ahead.
That first year.
Okay.
The first year, I kind of tried on the label and sat with it. Yes, I was taking, you know, steps towards natural healing, which was surprising to me in general. Because, I mean, what people might not know about me, other than knowing me beforehand, is I was extremely mainstream. You know, I had a wonderful husband, a beautiful home. I had 3 kids, got a dog. I mean, all the things were lined up perfectly. I come from a great family. I eat fast food all the time, processed food. Like, it doesn't get more mainstream than I was. And it was good. I'm not complaining that it wasn't a great life. It was good. But I was asking for more. I wanted to be a better mom. I wanted to be an inspiration. I wanted to have a smoking body. I wanted to eat better. I wanted all these things. And I always say, you know, if God himself would have come down and said, Kathy, I'm going to give you everything you've ever wanted. And I'd be like, sweet, finally, yes. And he's like, hey, there's one catch. You know, it's going to come in the form of MS. Do you still want it? And I literally knew that I wanted everything so bad, I still would have looked him in the eyes and I would have said, no, I'll go get it another way. I don't want that. But it was everything I was asking for. And to this day, if someone goes, are you careful what you ask for? I said, absolutely not. Never am I careful what I ask for. I'm careful of the expectations on how I think it's going to come to me.
That is, I think that's the part that a lot of us are still in the process of learning, isn't it? That it's not, I mean, you definitely ask for what you want, but releasing the expectation to the outcome of that.
And
maybe doesn't that release us from those labels? Because don't labels have an expected outcome attached to them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm not definitely saying that labels are bad. It's just when we don't check in with them to see if they were the labels that we chose. So, you know, when we're kids and we get all these labels, you know, mine were stereotypical for me was born and raised in Alaska, and I'm Alaskan. Because I'm Alaskan, that means I like to hunt, I like to fish, I'm Republican, I'm number 6 of 7. It goes boy, girl, boy, girl. I mean, everything in my life was steady and labeled. And I've always said it's a very comfortable place to grow up. You know, there was a lot of love and security in knowing. I grew up in a small town, so, you know, I always, you know, literally grew up in the false assumption that I was famous. within being famous, what do you know of that is that I completely censored myself and was always on display. Like, what will everybody think? Everybody looking at me, how do they portray me? I was so far from living in my own life and in my own body that this process has taught me to go, okay, am I still Republican? Oh, my God, I didn't even know what Republican means. No, I'm not Republican. Do I still love meat and potatoes? Oh, my God, I don't even like meat. So it's all these choices that I did choose, but they weren't my labels necessarily, and they weren't comfortable, and that's what my life kind of came to in that moment of going, look, all these choices that you chose, you're not comfortable in them. How about you check in? How about you go into that box and say, am I still stubborn? Do I still want to be stubborn on some things, or can I let that go? And that's exactly what I'm doing with this MS label. It's like, okay, I know what I accepted. I know what this label meant when I received it. That's the choice I made. What's the choice I want to have now in how I accept this into my life? And that acceptance for me now is that it's this big, beautiful, amazing gift.
And that is, I mean, I've had, you know, chill bumps a couple times when you've been speaking about this here, Kathy. And I think it is, I mean, I think it's a challenging assumption, I think, for a lot of us, again, anyone who has faced or is dealing currently with a chronic condition or any kind of health challenge for that matter is maybe thinking to ourselves, how can I look at this as a gift? And, you know, that might ruffle some people's feathers, too, you know.
Yeah, it would have. If I would have met myself now, 3.5 years ago, I would have thought I was a complete whack job. I would have thought that I was delusional. I would have thought that I probably would have called myself a bunch of names. Like, what is wrong with you? How is this a gift? I don't get it. And it's really, you know, if I can look at just one of the sayings that I've heard lots in a lifetime, but it means something totally different for me now, is it's just a little swap of a preposition of life is happening to you or life happening for you.
Right.
And because of my choices of how I see this blessing in my life, it's because life is happening for me. I brewed MS. And I'm not saying that everybody else has to look at their disease that way, but this is what I brought into my life. This is the wake-up that I brewed. And for me, you know, I didn't, out of all the diseases I could have created, I didn't create one of pain. You know, I didn't come from a place of pain. I didn't come from hurt in my lifetime. So what I did come from was, because I was labeling everything in life, my daydreaming stopped, my dreaming stopped, my curiosity was absolutely killed. So, of course, out of all the diseases, I would brew one that was numbness, because I was numbing up to who I genuinely was.
Wow.
My dad, you know, dying from kidney failure, he feels pain every day. And as a child, what did he feel every day? Pain. All he ever knew of love was pain. So he chose something, a dis-ease in his life and in his body, to feel pain.
Yes. And I know that I know you're mentioning your dad, and I know that it's a really challenging time right now too for you and your family. And I also think it's so amazing what your husband is doing, and maybe that's too personal to share, but I just think it's just amazing. You just seem like you have an amazing family who just really talk about connection. We're going to be talking about it a little bit later, the idea of connection and community, but I just wanted to just acknowledge that I think that you and your family are just amazingly strong and brave, especially for everything that is going on right now. And, you know, Yeah, you're welcome. And also, something else that you mentioned reminded me of, you know, you were talking about earlier, like this sort of, it sounds like this MS, a diagnosis and the experience that it's brought you back into your body. And you're mentioning how it's, you know, you were feeling numb before, and that's perhaps why this particular chronic illness was, again, for lack of a better word or lack of a better phrase, suited for you.
Sure.
And I think it's interesting. I definitely was thinking about this in my own journey with chronic fatigue syndrome. Is that you know, a lot of us, it's not just people that are have faced with or are dealing with a chronic condition, are disconnected from our bodies. I think it's safe to say that most of us have been disconnected from our bodies in one capacity or another. And I find it interesting that chronic illness, or the experience of it, or however you want to relate to it or explain the definition of chronic illness, it definitely is an opportunity, for whatever reason, to experience being back in your body again, isn't it? Because it's the immediacy of the symptoms that you feel. Or,
well, we spent 30-some years, sometimes 50 years before someone gets a diagnosis, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
we spent that time being in dis-ease, you know, that for me, you know, I spent 30-some years with a complete imbalance, and I would dare to say most, if not all women I know in my life are in the same imbalance of kind, gentle, loving words being pale in comparison to the harsh, horrible words that we would never, ever say to our little ones or to the most special little girl in our life, you know. I would never tell a little girl, my daughter, that she's not good enough, or that she needs to be better. That just the most gentle things that I thought would not be that harmful to myself, I've been saying my whole life, and I would never say one of them to my daughter.
Yeah. That is really. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, as far as like chronic fatigue, it's like, you know, whatever you were doing for 30-some years, living a certain life that was not what your inner being really wanted, your intuition, your, man, this is what I really want to do. I want to talk to millions, and I want to change lives and all this stuff. What you were doing was making you tired because it wasn't in alignment of what you really wanted. So,
you know, it's
not tired.
It's so interesting. Yeah, I've definitely discovered a whole different kind of energy, as it were, through having this experience of chronic fatigue. I've discovered, in a sense, my real energy. For me, it's spiritual.
Yeah.
It's energetic. I can tap into it any time I like. There's an abundance of it. You know, there's somebody was saying somewhere that we actually have enough energy in our bodies to theoretically light up the United States for a week. And, you know, when I heard that, I was like, well, if that's the case, then maybe this lack of energy I have, as it were, is it's trapped in my body as opposed to me not having it. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like it was trapped in my body.
I've got you on speaker because I'm going to read, just for a second, something from Louise L. Hay, which is a really profound book, You Can Heal Your Life, that came into my life. And the word is incurable. The probable cause, the words we were saying our whole life, or beliefs, the belief that we had, is cannot be cured by outer means at this point. We must go within to effect the cure. It came from nowhere and will go back to nowhere. The new thought pattern. Miracles happen every day. I go within to dissolve the pattern that created this, and I now accept divine healing, and so it is. Or it's just what you're, that new look that you just took a look at your disease is exactly what I had to do, what, no, not I had to do. The beauty of what came into my life was that it's an internal journey. It's a balance, you know. There's mind, body, soul. And when we look at the mind and body, I definitely resided in the mind body first. What can I eat? What can I eat? Let me research. What does this disease mean? How do I understand it fully? What's the physiological effects of this and why? And it wasn't until I went to the soul part of it, which is like in year 3, which I really started to look at what's my reflection? How did I bring this disease on? Why did I cause on all the diseases? Why is it this one? What is the message behind it? And that is when I had to go within to dissolve the pattern, the beliefs that I believed my whole life. And so when you have this tendency to go with all these beliefs and you don't check in with them, the curiosity is dead. When you have your label, it's chronic fatigue, it's MS, if you just sat with that and said, oh, it's this, it's another label that you'll wear as a brownie badge or not. Maybe it's something you hide, maybe it's something you hate. But regardless, if you don't check in and try to get curious of what it really means, then you won't be able to go internally and help cure from an inner place. Does that make
Absolutely.
Sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love the way you describe the metaphor of dissolving the pattern, because I think chronic illness, and we're talking about the word chronic here, the reason that I believe that some of us stay stuck in a chronic pattern of illness is because we're stuck in a certain pattern. We've accepted a label. It could be a label that we've accepted. We've accepted a certain way of living. We've accepted the diagnosis. Whatever it is that we've accepted has become a pattern in our life. And, you know, there's actually sometimes you can't necessarily solve something on the level. Oh, this is, I think this is, I forgot who said this, but you can't solve a problem on the level that it was created. So you have to move to a higher level, which is
what curiosity in that, right? If it's on the
Absolutely.
Same level, it's not curious about it. You've already named it. I just looked up chronic diseases and the probable cause, a refusal to change, fear of the future, not feeling safe. So tell me, if those words compared to these new words, what the balance would be in your life, and I would say for my life. The new thought pattern is, I am willing to change and grow. I now create a safe new future. So, but those words did not exist in my life. My parents didn't know those words. So they didn't know how to pass them on to me. So, of course, I would fear change. Of course, I would fear anything new. We spend our lifetime telling our kids what everything is so they feel safe. This is your house. This is your toy. This is a marker. This is a whatever. When you give something, if you give a baby a pen, you know, or versus if I gave you a pen, and you know, Edie, what is this? And you're like, it's a pen. Okay, what do you do with it? You write with it. Perfect. Okay, well, you don't need a pen right now, so you would put the pen to the side. The curiosity is dead. You give a pen to a baby, and or let's say a toddler, and it becomes a spaceship, a rocket ship, it's an earplug, whatever it is, it's because they're curious about it. And so they still have a need for it, and they're still looking at it with new eyes. Once we have things labeled as adults, we put them off to the side. Either you need it or you don't. You either know what it is or you don't. Whatever you don't know is fear, because it's change. It's something new coming in our life. We have to be able to label it, or else we're unsure of it. That's why I labeled everything in my journey to this day, as far as healing, as hippie shit.
As what?
Yeah, because if it was like unknown, or it was weird, or it was metaphysical, I didn't want to know about it because I feared it. So I would just label it. It would all go under this umbrella of, that's hippie stuff, man. I'm not into that.
And yet,
so
here
it's
you
like,
are,
we're
right?
Labeling all this. Here I am. Like, I think I just completed the cycle by burning incense in my house now. It's official. I would be a hippie.
It's just, I love that. We're going to, there's so many things to talk about here, Kathy. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a really short break, but when we come back, I'd like to explore these concepts more. What does it mean to be curious? And what does it mean to bring curiosity back into your life and to step outside, to step out from under that umbrella that you placed over yourself, whatever that label may be? And I love what you were talking about. Let's let go of the fear of the future and not feeling safe. And let's look at what would the opposite look like.
Absolutely.
We'll be back in just a few minutes here on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Wellness Coach. Are you trying to lose weight? Maybe you're trying to quit smoking. Whatever your health goals are, wellness coaching can help you to achieve them. Wellness coaching is an effective, fun, empowered way to change your health habits and achieve lasting results. Visit PortlandWellnessCoach.com today. You have the power to change. Wellness coaching can help you to achieve your goals. PortlandWellnessCoach.com. Change for good. Feeling stuck? Try focusing on your strengths. Whatever challenge you're currently facing, try to use your skills and strengths to navigate your way. Remember past successes you have already experienced. You have the power to change your life. Coaching can help guide you along the way. This has been a coaching tip brought to you by The Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Edie Summers, and my guest today is Kathy Carlisle. We are talking about what you do when you've been diagnosed with a chronic condition like multiple sclerosis, chronic fatigue syndrome. What umbrella do you stand under? What box do you put yourself in? What gifts have you been given? Kathy Carlisle is a photographer, entrepreneur, and catalyst between the Live Behind the Live Everything Mindful community. She is inspired daily by her three incredible children and her rock of a husband who is continually curious about the new person that she becomes each day. So, Kathy, let's talk a little bit more about curiosity. This is, I think, safe to say maybe it's something that you specialize in. What does it mean to be curious?
Oh, I only specialize in it because I lost all curiosity for the majority of my life. So it's not that I probably specialize in it other than it's something that I'm always processing and, can you say, getting curious about curiosity?
Absolutely.
Because for me, you know, I had a discovery recently and where I got this whole umbrella thing because I was doing a shoot with my friends of this group that we're starting. And it was kind of like what holds us back from living our brave-hearted selves. And for me, it goes back to labels. Mm-hmm. And what I discovered, I did a shoot actually with an umbrella, and I had MS at the top of it. And then with under MS, there was headaches, stomach aches, fatigue, hormones, impatience, all these things that, because I was not in tune with my body, I chalked them up as when I had a headache, it was because I was stressed. When I had a stomach ache, it's because it was something I ate. When I became like bloated 5 months pregnant every night, it was, oh, that food was not agreeing with me.
Mm-hmm.
When I had, what was another one that was anything physically, I chalked it up to having children. It was hormones. I don't know what I did before I had kids. It was probably a different label. But because of all those things that I labeled, I wasn't curious. And because I wasn't curious, I couldn't have never seen that I was creating a chronic illness. You know, it wasn't obvious to me. So what I'm discovering, even on a bigger level, is it's not the MS umbrella. What I have, what I'm holding on to for an umbrella, it's fear.
Mm.
And under the fear umbrella, there's MS as a symptom. There's, gosh, so many things that are going under the umbrella for me, discovering-wise. Probably the best way I describe curiosity for myself, what my husband and I have found, is kind of this analogy of when we come into a relationship, we have these empty boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a mistake to fill up the boxes because, like Gottman Institute, they describe these getting-to-know-each-other times as love maps. And so you create these love maps, like, my favorite color is blue. I don't like this. I'm scared of that. I would never try this. I would never do that. I would totally want to do this. This is what I dream. Okay, we get to know each other. We fill up our boxes.
Yes.
And then we get to that comfy stage of knowing that person so well that we start filling up their box. Like, you know what? Mm. You're really stubborn on this, and you don't like this. And you think you want to do this, but you don't. So now we're putting labels in each other's boxes, which is still not necessarily a mistake.
Uh-huh.
The mistake lies, in my opinion, when we put the top on the box.
Mm-hmm.
And once we have
that
top on the box, society, it kind of sets it up so that we can even concrete the box if we wanted to. And so we sit in this marriage, which, mind you, is just an analogy, a reflection of what we've done to ourselves. I have, you know, I have this box individually that I'm not checking in with. Of course my marriage would reflect that it's not growing, that there's no curiosity, because I don't have it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, can we learn how to take off the top of the box again and check in with those labels? Like, Jake, do you still, are you still scared of heights, or do you think we could go towards that? And so, you know, otherwise I look at it like being married to the norm for so long, you know, just divorce him. Norm doesn't work. You don't have growth in that. I don't think it's by mistake that out of the show Cheers, that the one guy that they knew the best every time he came into the bar, it was Norm, and they'd all yell his name. We love that. We love to matter, but
that is
Norm
so great.
Is boring. There's no curiosity in the Norm.
Well, you know, it's
and
also
so
like, I don't think there is anything. I don't think there is anything as such as normal. I think that everybody keeps thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not normal, and yet what is normal? Is there really such a thing as normal? Maybe
right.
in terms of tests and things like that, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, I think society has made us think there's definitely a norm. You try to fit in the norm. You keep up with the Joneses. You fall into the norm testing, all that norm stuff. But norm, I think, more than anything, I just keep thinking in my mind, I'm like, norm is so boring. Like, I'm totally divorcing him. Like, pack the bags. You're out of here.
No, that's so great. And actually, it's so funny because this may be off topic, but maybe it's not. I was just watching Super Soul Sunday today, and end of it, that's such a great show, and there's they were talking about relationships and how so many of us, when we say I love you, what we're really saying is I need you. Like, so many things about relationships are built on needs that we have, whereas they really ideally should be focused on sharing a field together, like an expansive field together. So expand your field by being with someone else that you have maybe something in common with or shared values, and then the field around you expands, and that's your experience together, as opposed to filling up each other's needs and, again, sort of keeping each other in these boxes that you talk about. Like,
so the way I kind of see it, I mean, if someone can't relate to fields and that kind of language, because I know I couldn't a few years ago, I get it now, but
yes.
I think more than anything, obviously there's excitement when we first get to know each other. And, you know, as the excitement dies out, we have to look at reflection. So when you look at marriages, and actually it's easier to look at past relationships. If everyone could take a boyfriend or girlfriend from the past and really go, okay, if that person was an exact reflection of me, who was I then? And in most cases, it was like, no, that wasn't me because I'm this and this now. Okay, yeah, but it was you at the time, and you could see why it didn't work, because that person was coming into your life to shine light in your shadows or whatever it is. What I find in people being brave, and what I find in my own marriage, is if I told you, I think I've told you this before, Edie, but if we were out in public and I told you, Edie, sing the national anthem as loud as you can right now, would you do it? Probably not. If I said, Edie,
probably
sing the national anthem with me. Let's totally sing this. You'd probably do it. I would say you would do it. If I said, there's going to be 10 of us that are going to sing the national anthem, join us, there's no doubt in most people's minds they would join. We find bravery in each other. And and in very fortunate cases, like my own marriage, I'll only speak for my own. I don't know what everybody else goes through, but Jake has given me that bravery where, yes, I love you, and I'm going to learn how to love you the best I can, because really what I'm trying to learn and find bravery to do is love myself.
Yes.
And I'm going to put you on this amazing pedestal, and you're going to be perfect, and you're not going to like these words, but I need you to be up there. But really what I'm trying to teach myself is how to come up onto the pedestal with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like there is this example, there's this bravery that we find that we can't see ourselves in them. So in his best qualities, I can see myself. In his worst qualities, I can totally see myself.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is an amazing way of describing, I think, a healthy relationship. And it also kind of reminds me of the idea of connection and community, which is something that also I think you're really good at. And you actually created a community sort of, was it as a result of having being diagnosed with MS and all of that? Is that the reason that you created the Live Everything Mindful community?
The reason I created it was because a beautiful, beautiful network marketing company came into my life called Univera, and the product showed me my first symptom-free day on a physical level so that I could take my journey even further internally.
Yes.
So because it was in relationship marketing and because I had already labeled relationship marketing with the worst labels in the world, of course I'd have to find curiosity in it, but I'd also have to learn because my mom gave me the beautiful title at one point of saying, you're so stubborn, you're going to do things in your own way in your own time, which I actually believe those really strong messages are from our mothers are directly from God that we're supposed to be listening to our whole life. And I'm really starting to put together a book based on this because I was meant to hear my whole life, Kathy, your strength, what makes you different from everybody else in this world is that you are stubborn in the most beautiful way. You're going to be driven and you're going to do things in your own way, in your own time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did with the Univera stuff, what I can see the message finally got through to me, was like, I'm going to do this in my own way. I'm going to build a community. And I'm going to make Univera one of many choices that I've embarked on. It's a window for you to look into my life and my husband's life and see what it is that we use tool-wise to go deeper, to go within, to find our healthy journey. So whether it be a naturopath, a chiropractor, something more metaphysical, whatever it is that you can find that key to help unlock you to the more positive wellness journey that we all crave. It really is finding bravery also within a community. And we start every event with the saying that I got from a TED Talks. I can't find the guy that said it. And actually, his name was never mentioned. It was kind of my guru said this. And it was, the only difference between the words illness and wellness is the I in illness and the we in wellness. And for me, my journey has been just that I sat in the I too long. I'm this, I'm that. I have headaches. I have stomach aches. I'm perfectly labeled. It wasn't until I went into the we that I could see my reflections of greatness or sadness, that I could heal within a community using tools that are really just showing me the whole time what my one truth is, that I do have the capability to heal myself, that I've always... What is it in The Wizard of Oz? So the witch tells Dorothy, you've always had it to go back home, silly, right? Like, but we need bravery and we need ways to see that we do have it within us. It's not realistic to say to someone, you know, if someone would have come into my hospital room when I was diagnosed, Kathy, you have all the power in the world to heal this on your own, silly. And I'd be like, you are mental. Are you kidding me? They just said I have MS. Like, you don't get it.
Right. No, it is a journey, but it's so interesting that we're talking about this. First of all, the Live Everything Mindful community is phenomenal for anyone who hasn't checked it out. You have them a few times a year, and they're just the events are almost indescribable. The level of energy that's at them is incredible. Talk about energy and talk about bringing the sense of curiosity and connection all into one room. And you have all these different practitioners that come, and you have people that guest speakers, and it's just, you know, I think I love that idea of moving beyond illness and moving to wellness, which is moving away from the I, which could be construed as the ego, perhaps, and into we for wellness. And this brings us back full circle to what I was talking about at the beginning of this hour is, you know, when I was had so many symptoms and I literally couldn't move and I was so sick, I was lying in my bed and all I could think of, it dawned on me, and it probably did come from a higher power, was that relationship is all that matters. And I think that your community of Live Everything Mindful is the most beautiful example that I've experienced to date of community and relationship. And so I just wanted to thank you for starting that.
Thank you. I mean, it's the we, you know, it's not, it's my window, sure, but we create it. You know, I never thought that it would just be about me, and I fought it for a long time, and I realized that if I stopped it today, it would die down. So I get it that it's about me and my journey, but at the same time, it's, when you said the most important thing is relationship, I do believe that community really is amazing for giving us a safe place to be a new person, or really to be in relationship with ourselves, because that's really what it's about. And, and when you can get with other people and see new reflections of yourself and find tools to go within, the most important relationship we could possibly be in is with ourselves and that higher power, whatever we see it as, whether it's universe, energy, God, we're all speaking the same language. And and really our last event featured just that. We had the author of The Shack, Paul Young, come in. And he,
so amazing.
He and I had set an intention that going on this journey within, you know, what I was finding was there was a real disconnect and friction that I was running up against. My girlfriend and I started this together, and the more metaphysical I got, the more she wanted to go towards her Christian faith. So we kind of split on really great terms, like, I can't wait for you to go do your thing, and I'm going to continue to put this vision together, because we had this vision when we started, I'm staying with it. And so that's when my husband came in, and our intention was to create a space where we could understand that in going on the journey within, yes, this person may talk about universe and energy, and this person might talk about God and higher power, but we're all using the same language when we talk about the power within us. But it's not a separate entity, that we do deserve to heal, and that our bodies are capable of doing this. We're speaking the same language.
Absolutely.
So it was just this brilliant event to celebrate just that. And what I would say for anyone is, because I'm on this journey, because I've chosen to go within, I attract different reflections of me. And anyone can go do that and create community within that, or go see new reflections in themselves. And for me, there's no one too big that I can't attract. I remember when I read Paul's book and just had this overwhelming desire to know him. And as it turns out later, I just thought, okay, what would it look like to know him? Of course, a friend of a friend knew him. And then I called him up, and he called me back. And of course, it was this effortless. And of course, I could attract him.
Absolutely. And
when I met him, I knew instantly why I had attracted him. What I struggled with was understanding a man of his stature, whatever I had in my own mind, why would he attract me? And that's
interesting.
What this process has been. You know, why would Oprah need to attract me? Why would a mama from Florida want to attract me? What is it that my reflection is meant to show them?
And it's finding
that empowering process to say, I matter, I'm special.
Absolutely. And it does, it's a two-way street. It does go both ways. And I actually just wrote to Oprah today, so, and I asked her to be on my show. So you never know. And we are all equal in this. And I love how community is seeing a reflection of yourself in other people. And that is just absolutely brilliant. And it kind of reminds me of, and this is where the healing takes place, isn't it? It's is when we have to go inwards, and yet we need each other to see the reflection of ourselves and where, the facets of where we are, where our blind spots are, and also where our light may be shining that we can't see. Other people can shine that light on us, and it makes it easier to feel it and see it in ourselves, and to get connected back to our bodies and our souls, and which is kind of the whole point. But this idea of, I mean, you've been a photographer. I don't know how long you've been doing it for, but obviously you're a pro at it. And it kind of struck me as, photography isn't that about seeing I mean, you take pictures of people, and it's sort of like that you're showing them reflections of themselves that
Mm-hmm.
maybe they wouldn't see otherwise.
I'll tell you, it gave me great training wheels to get to the point where I believe it was a deeper meaning now for myself, and that is that I've said recently that I think my superpower is that I'm able to stand in front of someone and be and show them the reflection of the person that they want to be or that they're scared to be. And
yes.
So every time I get in front of anyone and they say, you're inspiring, you're amazing, you're this or that, I just stop and I'm like, yeah, and I'm you. I'm just a reflection of you.
Ugh.
And the this technique that I send out on my husband and I send out on our New Year's card every year that I got from an amazing person. Her name is Christine Kane, and she is a musician, and she's gone on her own empowering journey and is empowering others now. But she did this thing on her blog one time about picking a word for the year. And so we send out on our card every year to pick a word instead of a resolution and just be curious about it. And for me, I go towards things that trigger me. That's been my biggest tool in my journey, to know if I label it too fast, if I judge it too fast, if it rubs me the wrong way, it's what I am supposed to go towards. Those have the biggest gifts for me. Not everyone can do it, and I have a lot of friends saying, you know, they'll tell me about a horrible person in their life, and they're like, and don't even say it, Kathy. Don't even tell me I'm supposed to go towards it, because I'm not. I'm like, I didn't say it. So for me, I picked the word yes off of my list last year because it triggered me. I was like, who has a problem saying yes? What a dumb word that I have on that. And so I was like, dang it, I think that's my word. So sure enough, through the year, it was all about reflections. And when I would, let's say, years ago, when I would see a healthy, fit body, I would start going, oh, it must be nice. She must work out all the time. When I would see a really loving family with physical touch, I'd be like, oh, that's really nice. But I know what it was. Like, I'd see a mom and a daughter at a grocery store together. And because I'm away from my family, I'd be like, oh, she's probably uses her mom all the time. Whatever it was, that language, it was me saying no over and over and over to things that God or universe itself was putting in front of me to say yes to. And so I spent the whole year, not to mention everybody telling me, have you seen the, you know, when they hear about what I was doing, they're like, have you seen the movie Yes Man? It did not play out like that movie. It was a more gentle story that unfolded, which was, how many times do I look at something and say no to it? How many times have I looked at Oprah and said, she's too busy, she's too popular, she's too whatever, why would she want it? I'm saying no to it. So every time I would see something, smoking body, healthy person, blah, 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 and I do it to this day, I started, some of them are like, I say yes to that. And the really passionate ones, all my friends that knew my word, they'd show me something or we'd see something like a grandiose trip or making millions of dollars, and I would get really passionate. I say yes to that. Yes.
And why not? Because there is incredible power in words. Jennifer Powers and I were just talking about this a couple of days ago. It changes everything. Our words are incredibly powerful. Our thoughts are incredibly powerful, and it determines the next direction that our lives are going to take. So I love the word
powerful.
Yes.
If I tell anyone where to start in the cheapest manner, like, what do? How do you get so radiant? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what? I could tell you all these different things to do, but none of them are right for you. What you could do tonight, just for the least expensive, most impactful thing that you could do, is check in with your words and start to change your words. And that has been the biggest part of my journey. And a couple play on words recently, on my word for the year now is hope, and it was another word that triggered me because it's tied to cancer. Every time you see hope, it's hope of cancer. When the reality in my mind is you're not handed any kind of freaking hope when you're diagnosed with a disease. I'm sorry, unless you have alternate voices out there and different things, the hope is not delivered to you. You have to choose it. And so that word sitting with me, I literally said about 3 months ago, what will it look like when I meet life and new things, new changes in my life with curiosity and excitement instead of fear and worry? And
absolutely.
I'll tell you what, stuff has flooded into my life. You know, what you touched base on before, which we didn't really go into, which was my husband
Yes.
My dad has been dying for, I say dying, but, you know, I think a lot of us choose death when we choose not to grow in life. We get closer to death than life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has been on dialysis for 5 years. And, of course, out of 7 kids and an amazing wife, not one of us can be a donor. So my husband is going to be the donor and just got the green light days ago. But
it's incredible.
What I know of my family as well is that we've lived in a state of fear and worry our whole lives. We're pessimists, but at heart, I believe we're optimists. I think that we're just not comfortable living in the pessimism anymore. It's eating us alive. And so my family created, of course, out of all the diseases, a genetic disease that grows tumors on your adrenal glands. It's called VHL. That's why we can't donate the kidney, because we may need it. So out of all the things, my family decided to brew as the gift and the message to go towards wellness in was an adrenal, an endocrine system shutdown, because that's where anxiety comes from, right? And being in a fearful state, we're in anxiety. So, of course, my dad's only known sorrow and sadness. And so at the time of learning that the donor is a go for my husband, we would also have tragedy come into our life with my niece battling anorexia, because my family has a hard time accepting joy with sorrow. So that is where we're at. That's the message I see and the clarity that I have behind this all. It's like, oh, look at this beautiful message. Dude, can I talk like this with my family? Not always. I hope no one's on the phone call, because all I feel is excitement.
Wow.
You know, when someone comes to me and says I'm diagnosed with cancer, if I feel the energy within them that they want hope, I get excited. When my mother-in-law told us that she had cancer, my husband and I started to laugh. The most jacked up reaction in reality of the norm of life, but we were excited for her.
And that's isn't that the, I mean, you said something there. I mean, first of all, I think it is about choosing hope, just despite any situation, but also kind of like dancing with the mix of joy and sorrow. I think that's the real challenge for all of us, right? Because there's a yin and yang of life that's happening all the time, and it really is about how are you going to choose to react to whatever does come your way, and dance with the yin and the yang and the joy and the sorrow, and choosing hope.
I think the harder decision is that we can wish for hope all we want. But the thing is, we have to choose hope. That's why hope is so desperate feeling when we use that word, and that's why I've been sitting with it, because it's the harder route to choose hope in a sorrowful situation. It's harder to choose joy than sorrow, the easy route. It was going to be easier for me to take a drug than to choose hope, which was going to be a whole lot of work, 3 years of hard work, so I could find hope. I choose hope. My word is just, it's not even the end of the year, and I'm freaking out over this word. Are you kidding me?
It is just the beginning of the year, isn't it? But that's what's so exciting. But I love the idea of that, because that really is, again, coming full circle, what we're talking about here. Like, what is health really anyway? You know, despite your circumstances, whatever your body might be up to at any given point in time, what does it really mean to be healthy? Doesn't it mean to live in a state of hope?
I don't know. I think being healthy is choosing happiness. I think it's a balancing, always in process, journey of mind, body, soul, health.
Yes.
Feeling purpose in this world, choosing joy and happiness by living that's why we're seeing a shift in corporate, you know, that we're not all going to corporate America, why we're miserable in corporate, you know, because I get to be on the beautiful side of network marketing, which I found the gifts finally within it after I got through the labels and got curious about it, which is, why shouldn't we get paid to bring our gifts to the world?
Absolutely.
Why shouldn't we be able to just live our lives and be an example and have an abundance coming to us? I mean, that's what brings us joy. If we can find, you know, passion within a job, I literally, I've said, you know, I came out of a 9-year career in photography that fed my ego. It gave me a new label outside of mom and wife. Mm-hmm. And it gave me the gift of mattering. I mattered. You know, oh, what's your label? It's photographer. So I sat in that for a long time. And don't you know, I went to a networking event recently, and everybody was going around, and it's this horrible game of what do you do? How can we help you? Here's my card. And it just feels like when we talk about relationship, it's the furthest from relationship, right? It's just... It's terrible. And so for me, I always crave more of the things. I don't do surface very well. I have these kind of talks every day because I choose it. Mm-hmm. And so I went up to this one man and I said, you know, we did the preliminary, like, oh, lovely night, huh? Boring, boring, boring. And of course, he goes right into it. And he's in a suit. And I've stayed away from all the guys in suits, which I said, next time I go to an event like this, I will only talk to people in suits just to challenge myself. And so he says, well, what do you do for a living? And I was like, I kind of paused. I was like, I was done trying to say any of my companies that they would not be curious about, because if I said Univera, they would think it's about health and go the furthest from it. Mm-hmm. If I said Live Everything Mindful, well, what the hell is it? You know, I don't have a description for it. It's a community. I don't know what it is. And so I stopped and I looked at him and I was like, you know what? I live an extraordinary life. That's what I do. Mm, and he paused. Oh. He goes, well, so do I. And I just kind of giggled. And I looked at him and it was like this epiphany for me. It's really threatening when you're in a state of frustration and and not a lot of hope, or think you're content because everything's labeled. I know this because I was there. Mm-hmm. When you hear something positive. I remember people that would come into my life that were too happy when I was not choosing happiness, when I was mama three and I need this and I'm so this and I'm not supported and all that stuff. Anytime I'd meet someone happy that would talk just like me, I was like, oh my gosh, she's so sparkle and shine. It's sickening. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm Miss Sparkle and Shine now.
You're the sparkle and shine. Well, that's an understatement, Kathy. And maybe that's your superpower right there, is your sparkle and shine and you living an extraordinary life. I love that it's, you know, because I was talking about identity earlier, like when you get slapped with a label, or, you know, you find yourself facing a chronic condition for whatever amount of time it is, you can lose your sense of identity. But I love that you say that your identity now is living an extraordinary life. And
we were always supposed to lose our identity. It's the unknowing process. You know, we can know.
Yes.
It's not the wrong to know. I needed to know that I had a talent. I needed to know I could make a difference in people's lives. And that's why photography came in, to show me I mattered. And and women, we know that women, number one thing is to be acknowledged. We love to know that we matter. And so I it was a beautiful, beautiful journey that I was able to take, but all the while knowing that I was supposed to unknow myself as well, checking in with that label to go, what is it? And do I still need this to stand out in the world, or can I just stand out for being me?
Kathy,
and not on my label.
That is just a beautiful way to end. Unfortunately, we're at the top of the hour here, but that is a beautiful way, I think, to end the show and to leave people maybe with something to think about, sort of the getting, you know, the being the expanded version of yourself, and it's okay just to be you, and and that is more than enough right there, and that's where the juicy stuff is, isn't it? It's just in being yourself, and
it really is that you are enough, and your enough is good enough. You know, you're doing your best, and your best is good enough. I am enough.
I am enough, and that to me feels like health right there. I am enough. And I just wanted to mention your websites here, Kathy, for listeners who aren't listening on Blog Talk Radio that are on maybe iTunes. We've got Live Everything Mindful, so it's L-E, and then the word mindful.com, L-E-mindful.com. I definitely recommend you check out all of Kathy's websites for the Live Everything Mindful community. That's the one you check out for that, lemindful.com. And then we have kathycarlisle.com. Is that your other website, correct?
Correct. Yep, that's just photography and a blog that I will be starting to write in again. I finally have got the bug. I've been doing so much living that I haven't been writing, so I've got the bug to write again.
And Kathy, your blog is the best blog I've ever read. It is it is so good. And I just want to – so I'm going to spell your name for our listeners who might be on iTunes. It's K-A-T-H-Y-C-A-R-L-I-S-L-E. CARLISLE.com. That's KathyCarlisle.com. And your blog is livinglifebeyond.com. Is that how you say that?
Yes, Living Life Beyond. You can click on it from Kathy Carlisle. They can all click on it from there.
Perfect.
It really is just, it's been my way of processing. Before I started processing with people, I was processing online through the journey. So,
Well, it's an incredible blog. It's got tons of all your really great pictures on there that you've taken yourself, and your writing is amazing as well. And just the connections that you make, again, between mind, body, and soul are just really incredible, and it really is my favorite blog. So I hope people go check it out. And Kathy, I just thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your gifts and for telling us your story. Thank you so much. And I will hope you come back, and I will talk to you soon or see you soon.
Thank you so much, Evie. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.